Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the conditional use hearing scheduled for Monday, October 24th, 2022. It is now approximately 6:05 p.m. The board met in executive session immediately prior to this meeting to discuss legal issues. We are now ready to call this meeting to order, and so we shall. At this time, Mr. Emmerich, would you please conduct a roll call?
I'll be happy to do so. Member Dorado.
Here.
Member Wyckoff.
Here.
Member Nutt.
Here.
Member Bruce.
Here.
Chairman, you have four members present. Rickson is excused this evening.
All right, with that, the first item and the only item on the agenda under new business. Too much for me to do here. Okay. This is the reconvened public hearing regarding conditional use application number 2022-06 as filed by Equitable Owner Linlo Governor Crossing LLC and Sheets Incorporated, regarding a master plan development for redevelopment of land generally located in the southwestern quadrant of the intersection of West Governor Road and Fishburne Road to include a series of non-residential and residential uses consisting of a convenience store with fuel service, a mixed-use building with ground floor food service, a small-scale retail store and two upper floors containing multifamily apartment dwellings, a dialysis center, and a group child care facility. So at this time, I will turn this conditional use hearing over to our solicitor, and he will essentially run the meeting.
Good evening. I recognize, I suspect many of you were here at the first hearing we held approximately a month ago, so I apologize, but in case there are some new people here, I am gonna kind of go over my spiel once again, just explaining what's gonna happen tonight, how people can participate, and some other administrative matters before we get going on this hearing. As many of you might know, if you were at the last hearing, we did schedule a second night of testimony for this Wednesday, the 26th. We have a conflict now with that night, so we're not gonna have, if this hearing goes beyond tonight, a hearing that night. At the end of tonight's hearing, the board will be working with themselves, the applicant, and some of the other parties to try to work out a new night of additional testimony. In my opinion, based on my experience with these situations, we are probably looking at three or four separate nights of testimony, so just be prepared. It's going to be a marathon, not a sprint. Secondly, as far as tonight's hearing, the board is aiming to end this about 9 o'clock. So as we get close to 9 o'clock or right after, we are going to be looking for a convenient time to stop. And when we reach that, I'll just say, hey, we're going to conclude it for tonight, and then we will try to set up the hearing, the next hearing night. As I told and told the audience before at the last hearing, this is a conditional use hearing. The Board of Supervisors up here, they are sitting as judges. They are going to be judging this application. It is their job to listen to all the evidence, ask for some questions to clarify things, and then at the end of the presentation of all the evidence, evidence presented by the applicant, evidence presented by anyone opposing the application, and evidence presented by you, members of the public, the board will then make a decision, and within 45 days of the hearing ending, will issue a written decision based on that vote that can then be appealed by whoever doesn't like it. A conditional use hearing, like I said, is a kind of like a mini trial. It's not a case where if you come to normal meetings of this board where we invite public participation at a regular, on a regular basis. Here, the public is going to be able to participate, but only at the end. So there'll be a lot of testimony where you're just gonna have to sit and listen. Keep notes if you wanna keep notes, but wait until the end of all the hearings and then you'll be able to speak. Likewise, because it is a hearing, we have a court stenographer. It is her job to take everything down. So it's very, very important that we don't have people talking over the witness or saying things about the witness or what their testimony is, because it makes it very hard for the court reporter to take this down. So I understand that, you know, that you could be passionate about this, but I please ask just to, you know, keep, don't say anything, let the witness testify. You'll get your turn eventually. There are three ways you as a member of the public can participate in this hearing. One, you're doing right now. You're here. You can sit, you can listen, you can see what's going on. The second way is what I just told you, is we will have public participation, public comment at the end of the hearing, which might be 4 nights from now. It might be longer, it might be less. But at once all the witnesses are done, I will ask, is there anyone who wishes to give public comment? And you can stand in, stand up, you'll come up to the podium, you'll be sworn in, and you can say whatever you want about this project, whether you like it, whether you don't like it, what you think is wrong with it, what you think they missed. That's, you know, you can do that. We will limit you. I think the rule is 3 minutes, but you can say whatever you want in those 3 minutes. The third way of participating is you can become a party to this proceeding. What that means is, basically, if you live close enough, if you are impacted enough by this application, you can ask to become a party, and that would allow you to cross-examine everyone's witness, put on your own witnesses, put on your own evidence, and after the decision is made, if you don't like that decision, being a party makes it much easier for you to appeal that decision. Now, we, at the last hearing we held, I asked for whoever wanted to be parties. And I have a list of, I think, approximately 10 people who did request party status at that point in time. We put off making any decisions on those particular people, but we, that's probably the first thing the board is gonna do tonight is we are going to look to the applicant to see if the applicant has any objections to any of these individuals, and then we will make a vote on each individual's request to become party status. Once we're through that, I'm going to ask again, does anyone want to be a party? So anyone else who hasn't requested party status yet, you can request that at that point in time. After that, it's all done. We have a couple other administrative matters, and then I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Strong. He is the applicant's attorney, and he'll be putting on his first witness. So that being said, One last thing before you even get to that. I just want to ask the applicant, let's do party status first and then I'll move on to that, I'm sorry. So, regarding party status, the first person who asked party status was Mr. Crisp, attorney representing Mary Beth Backenstow. Mr. Strong, do you have any objection with this request?
No objection.
There's no objection. Does the board wish to permit Ms. Backenstow to be a party? She does live across Fishburne Road from the this site. Become a party. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Next, I have Annette Cassell Means. She owns 721, 725, and 739 Fishburn Road. Mr. Strong, any objection? Any questions?
No, but just one, question regarding clarification. The property owner is A to Z Realty LLC. So I think, is that the party?
I'm the managing member of A to Z Realty, majority owner.
That's my other question. The party is A to Z Realty LLC, not you in your individual capacity.
Correct.
Yes, no objection.
And you are Mrs. Means, or Ms. Means?
Ms. is fine.
Okay, thank you. That being said, I ask for a vote on Ms. A to Z Realty's application becoming a party. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Next we have Ronald J. Blumberg. He's the property owner of 637 Fishburn Road. Mr. Strong?
No objection.
Okay, I'd like to vote on Mr. Blumberg's application. All in favor say aye, please.
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Blumberg, you are a party. Next, I have Ann E. Newman, property owner of 533L. Mr. Strong?
No objection.
I'd like to vote on Ms. Newman's application. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Ms. Newman, you are a party. Next, I have Ellen Stroud. I believe Ms. Stroud, are you the owner or a tenant of 117 West Governor Road? Ms. Stroud here. Do you have any objections, sir?
Well, I did want to ask a follow-up question. I think at the last hearing, she stated that she was there on behalf of the owner of the property, and it's my understanding she does not own the property. So if she's there in her individual capacity, I'm not sure where she lives, if she lives near the project or not. Certainly don't have an objection to the owner of 117 West Governor Road being made a party. I'm just not sure if she's the owner.
Well, since she isn't here, we're going to put this, we're going to continue her request, and if she comes to the next hearing, we have one, we can deal with it at that time. Next, we have Doug Edney, property owner of 47 Peach Avenue. And 716 Fishburn Road. Mr. Strong?
No objection.
Okay. I'd like to have a vote on Mr. Edney's request. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, Mr. Edney, you're a party. Next, I have, and I'm going to apologize if I mispronounce this, Shri Pahil, 709 Fishburn Road. It's P A I J A. Mr. Strong?
No objection.
Okay, I'd like to have a vote on Mr. Pahila, if I'm pronouncing that correct, application. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And last, I have an application from Douglas Miller. I believe he's a tenant of 721, 725, and 739 Fishburn Road. Mr. Strong?
No objection.
If we have a vote on Mr. Miller's application, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. So those are all the people who requested party status at the last hearing. Is there anyone who's here who wishes to request party status at this point in time?
Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dave Getz, G-E-T-Z, Witz, Weinberg, Weidner in Harrisburg. I represent the property owner FSC Hershey PA LLC, which owns property at 667 Cherry Drive, Hershey. That is at the corner of Hope Drive and Cherry Drive. That's tax parcel number 24-044-109. We request party status as the property owner of that property.
And that property, I believe, is improved with a daycare center, is that correct?
Property is improved with a daycare center, and you'll be hearing in just a moment from the tenant the tenant's attorney at the daycare center as well.
Mr. Strong, you have any objection?
No objection.
I'd like to have a vote on, is it FFC, what's the tenant's name?
FSC, Hershey, PA.
Okay, FSC. Thank you, Mr. Brooks. Can I have this?
Sure.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. You're in, Mr. Getz.
Thank you.
For better or for worse. Yes, sir.
Good evening, members of the Board of Supervisors. Edward Greenberg, Ward Greenberg in Philadelphia, counsel for KinderCare Learning Centers. My client operates a learning center at 667 Cherry. It is the tenant of Mr. Getz's client, and it requests party status in this matter.
Mr. Strong?
No objection.
Okay. If I can have a vote on KinderCare's application for party status, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Goodberg. Is there anyone else who wishes party status?
Mr. Nelson, I should probably place my name of record. So Scott McNair, on behalf of Derry Township. Of course, the township is automatically a party, but I just wanted to place my name of record.
And you'll be representing part of the township's interest in this case?
That's correct.
Thank you very much, Mr. McNair.
Thank you.
I'm Truce Wilkins. I live at 194 West Covenant.
Could you say your name again?
Teresa Wilkins.
Can you spell Wilkins, please, ma'am?
W-I-L-K-I-N-S.
And what's your address, ma'am?
194 West Governor Road.
Mr. Strong, you wish to become a party, Ms. Wilkins? Mr. Strong, any objections?
If I could ask one question. Do you own the property at 194 West Governor Road?
Yes, sir.
No objection.
If I have a vote on Ms. Wilkins' application to become a party, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Robert Smith, 101 Almond Drive, Hershey, PA.
Almond, like the nut?
Almond Drive, yes. Representing myself and my wife. And residents of Cocoa Towns.
Well, you only can represent yourself, sir, unless you're an attorney. But
that's fine.
Okay. Mr. Strong, you actually, I do have a question for you, and I apologize. Where is Almond Drive in relationship to this particular?
Opposite side of the alley, which parallels Fishburne Road.
Okay. Thank you.
No objection.
We have a vote on Mr. Smith's application for party status. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Thank Smith. You. Hi.
Mark Winter. I am an attorney, and I live at 23 Almond Drive. And I would like to, on behalf of my wife and I, request party status. And for anyone else in the Cocoa Towns development so situated.
Mr. Strong?
No objection.
If we have a vote on Mr. Winter's application for party status, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much, sir. Anyone else? Going once. Okay. Of that being concluded, the next item on our administrative agenda is, as has been announced, one of the five supervisors cannot be here tonight. What I would like to propose and the board would like to propose, as long as the applicants and the other parties are fine with it, is in anticipation that this hearing is going to take several nights, Mr. Zamuda will hopefully be available for the subsequent nights of testimony. So we would like to have him, we will get the transcript prepared, have Mr. Zamuda review it before the next night of testimony, and he can sit in the hearing and then vote on this matter at the end of this hearing. Does that work for you, Mr. Strong?
Yes, it does.
Mr. McNair, is that fine for you?
No objection.
Does anyone have an objection with this setup? Hearing none, that's what we'll do, and Ms. Court Reporter, we can have that transcript prepared as soon as possible. Okay. Mr. Zamuda, thank you. Next on our agenda is we do have a request, or actually it was entitled a motion filed by Mr. Christ on behalf of his client, Ms. Backenstow, seeking, quote unquote, the appointment of an independent attorney as hearing officer to conduct the remainder of the conditional use hearing. As you know, Mr. Crisp, there is no motion practice in front of the Board of Supervisors. We don't have that power. We're not given that power. However, we will take this as a request for recusal of the five board members, and that's how we're going to approach this matter. We have reviewed your motion, and we're prepared to address it at this time. I'll give you a couple minutes to summarize it, but I think we are trying to move forward and get through this as quickly as possible.
My motion is made on two bases: to disqualify all the members of the Derry Township Board of Supervisors from sitting as hearing officers in this case for conflict of interest. One, because Derry Township has a direct conflict of interest because it has in the past and still concurrently continues to work with applicant Lindo Crossing as a public-private partnership on both the Sandhill Fishburne Road project, that's the relocation of Sandhill and the stoplight at Fishburne Road, as phase one, and what they are also calling a Hope Drive extension, phase two, which ultimately is going to be tied in with it after phase one is concluded. That's the first part. Number two, the Derry Township is biased and has knowingly chosen to sacrifice the access rights of more than 50 property owners, business owners, residents, and tenants along Fishburne Road in an attempt to correct its, what I'm calling, Hope Drive traffic mess by relocating and signalizing Sandhill Road. So they've been working on this together with the crossing people for at least 4 to 5 years. I think this goes back to 2017, that far. They have gotten money together with the Glenlow people from the intermodal transportation funds, $1 million Derry Township got, Glenlow got another $750,000. You work together on the design and the application of that. All of that means that you've been working together, hand in hand, on the very project that's in front of you. I think that's a blatant conflict of interest, that the township must recuse itself. I have a copy of my motion. I'm giving it to the court reporter to make a copy of the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chris. Mr. Strong, do you have comments on this request?
We have had an opportunity to review the request. We don't feel that it has merit, so we think the motion should be dismissed, obviously subject to the supervisors making that decision based on their own impartiality.
Thank you. Mr. McNair, any comments?
My understanding of the law is that the standard would be whether or not these Board of Supervisors, each one individually, can sit here in an unbiased manner. So I think maybe there needs to be a little bit of exploration with each individual as to whether or not they feel impartial based on what's been asserted at this point. But other than that, yeah, I don't have any specific argument to make.
Thank you. Do any of the other representative parties wish to make any comments or arguments based on this motion? No one else wishes to make comments. That being said, what I would like to recommend to the board is to provide a summary. Hold on. Just a summation of the law regarding this request. So in accordance with the municipality's planning code, a governing body for a conditional use hearing is a township board or hearing officer appointed by the board. Regardless, if a hearing officer is appointed, actually the board will make a final decision on this case. The hearing officer only makes a recommendation. Furthermore, there is actually no requirement that or state statute that says under certain circumstances the board must provide or appoint a hearing officer. When a board such as this one here, conducts a conditional use hearing. It is performing a quasi-judicial function, and therefore it is imperative that the board act impartially to ensure due process rights are not violated. And generally, showing of actual bias is not necessary to assert a due process violation. Instead, a mere appearance of any non-objective objectivity may be sufficient to constitute a violation. Recusal, as requested here, is warranted where a member of the board participates as an advocate or a witness, publicly expresses predisposition, or has a fiduciary relationship with the party in interest. Recusal is unwarranted in cases where a tangential relationship exists between the board members and the litigation the subject litigation. So with that being said, I am going to ask each of the board members, because this is an individual matter that each board member must deal with. It's not something that they deal with as a group. So I'm going to ask each board member a set of questions to determine whether or not they have any substantive relationship to the applicant and to this application, and whether or not they can, whether or not they feel they can listen to the evidence presented and make it a decision in an unbiased manner, properly applying the law. So that being said, I'm just going to go from my left to my right.
Sure.
So that works. Mr. Caruso?
Corrado.
Do you have a personal financial interest in this matter?
I do not.
Have you ever publicly expressed a predisposition against or for this project?
No.
Have you ever participated as an advocate for or against this project?
No.
Can you listen to the evidence presented and decide on this issue in an unbiased manner, applying the law as instructed?
Yes.
Do you feel that you can properly and faithfully undertake your duty as a supervisor in this case and comply with the law and issuing the decision?
I do.
Thank you. So do you wish to recuse yourself?
No.
I know. Abruzzo. Mr. Abruzzo, do you have a personal financial interest in this matter?
No, I do not.
Have you publicly expressed predisposition for or against this project?
No, I have not.
Have you participated as an advocate for or against this project?
No, I have not.
Can you listen to the evidence presented and decide on decide the requested issue in an unbiased manner, applying the law as instructed?
Yes, I can.
Based on these, your answers to these questions, do you believe you should recuse yourself from this matter?
No, I do not.
Thank you. Natalie, I'm going to forget. Do you have a personal financial interest in this matter?
No.
Have you publicly expressed predisposition for or against this project?
No.
Have you participated as an advocate for or against this project?
No.
Can you listen to the evidence presented and decide on this issue in an unbiased manner, applying the law as instructed?
Yes.
Based on your answers to these questions, do you feel you need to recuse yourself in this matter?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Whitehall.
Got that one.
Yep. Do you have a personal financial interest in this matter?
No.
Have you publicly expressed predisposition for or against this project?
No.
Have you participated as an advocate for or against this project?
No.
Can you listen to the evidence presented and decide on this issue in an unbiased manner, applying the law as instructed?
Yes.
Based on your answers to these questions, do you believe you need to recuse yourself from this matter?
No.
Thank you. As for Mr. Zamuda, I will ask them these questions at the next hearing before we get started. So that being said, Mr. Chris, your request has been rejected. The board is going to sit and listen to this matter itself. Lastly, thankfully, I have a few more board exhibits I'd like to have entered into the record, and then I'm going to hand this over, I believe, Mr. Strong to get going. So, and last we're on B13. So now I have want to mark as Exhibit B14 a letter from James Strong to the Board of Supervisors dated October 14th, 2022 regarding this conditional use application and a revised plan. Mark as Exhibit B15 the affidavit of publication dated October 13th, 2022 regarding the legal notice of tonight's hearing. Exhibit B16, the mailing list of all of the mail notice to the adjacent and nearby neighbors, notifying them of this particular hearing tonight. Exhibit B17 is the photographs showing the posting of the property on October 12th, 2022. With that being said, Mr. Strong, do you have any other administrative matters that you wish to bring up in front of the board at this time?
I do not.
Mr. McNair?
No, I don't.
Do any of the other parties have any administrative matters they wish to bring up before the board at this time?
I have a question. Yes. Municipal planning code, doesn't it require any property that the proposal proposes to take to be notified that they are, that is part of their proposal? Shouldn't that be part of their notification as per the municipal planning code?
Proposed to be taken?
Yes. In other words, they're showing the lane coming right across our property. We were never notified of any of this. I found out, you know, through the grapevine. We're not listed on the letter saying that they propose to put a lane through.
The notification under the MPC is actually, it leaves it up to the individual municipalities if they wish to adopt requirements as part of their zoning ordinance to notification. The notification here that we sent out, the latest notifications were sent out to all the abutting landowners, which is what's required by our zoning ordinance. But in addition, we then sent them to non-abutting landowners, ones that are across streets and other nearby landowners, to try to make sure we cover as many of them as possible. So we actually went beyond what we're required to do under our zoning ordinance. But the MPC does not have a specific requirement as to who gets notified. It just says if we want to notify them, we can set that up. But thank you.
Team that will be providing testimony in support of the application, Lowell Gates with Linlow Governor Crossing LLC, Greg Rogalski with Pannoni Associates, Greg Creasy with Grove Miller Engineering, Doug Tilley with TKS Architects, Steve Lynchow with Sheets, and Chris Camarada with Kitty Academy. I'd like to first start by thanking the supervisors for providing our team with the opportunity to present this project to both you and the interested residents of the township that have attended the hearing. We're very excited about this project and have been for quite some time. We feel that this project provides residential and community services and opportunities, as well as much needed road improvements for the area, and overall would be a great addition to the township and the township's residents.
I'd like to talk about and provide an overview of the project. As you know, Lindell has been working with the township for some time now to develop the master plan for this proposed mixed-use development project. And that process is really a function of the master plan provisions in the ordinance itself, and I'll come back to that. But the project is proposed on land that is generally located at the southwest corner of the intersection of Governor Road, State Route 322, and Fishburne Road. The proposed development is located in the township's Hershey Mixed Use District, as well as two overlay districts, the Southern Core Overlay and the Central Master Plan Development Approval Area Overlay. The development itself includes several features. First, proposed sheets, which would consist of an approximately 6,070 square foot building, together with a canopy and six fuel pumps that would serve up to 12 vehicles. Second, a three-story mixed-use building consisting of approximately 17,567 square feet of retail and restaurant spaces on the first floor, and then 40 residential apartment dwelling units on the upper two floors. Third is a child care facility consisting of an approximately 9,892 square foot building with outdoor play areas. And then last, a healthcare practitioner's office or office building that will be approximately 9,709 square feet. The project also proposes the relocation of Sand Hill Road. This includes the relocation of the existing intersection of Sand Hill Road and Fishburne Road, so that the intersection, after completion of the improvements, would be located farther from the Governor Road intersection with Fishburne Road than it is currently today. In addition, this new intersection would be signalized, whereas the existing current intersection is not signalized. As you may recall, the project previously included a dialysis care center use in one of the proposed buildings. However, the dialysis care center recently notified the applicant that they have decided to remain at their current location in the township and were no longer interested in relocating to this project. Accordingly, the application was amended earlier this month to withdraw the request for conditional use approval for the dialysis care center use, and the master plan was also revised accordingly. In terms of development of this area, this is not the first development project that has been proposed for and approved by the township for this location. In 2018, the township approved a conditional use application filed by the prior owner of these parcels, C&S Gray Real Estate LLC, and Sheets Inc. As co-applicants. And that application proposed a very similar sheets consisting of an approximately 5,988 square foot building together with a canopy and six fuel pumps to serve up to 12 vehicles. It also proposed an approximately 22,154 square foot building for a pharmacy, and also proposed the relocation of Sand Hill Road. As I said, that conditional use application was approved, but the project was not constructed. Therefore, under the terms of the zoning ordinance, that approval has since expired. Subsequent to the expiration of the approvals, the applicant purchased the properties from the prior developer. I talked about the master plan process and how that necessitates working with the township. So I'd like to spend a couple minutes talking about that master plan process. So the zoning ordinance permits the development of a master plan by conditional use in the central master plan development approval area overlay. As I mentioned earlier, this proposed project is located within that overlay district. And the zoning ordinance provides that the master plan process is intended to encourage development to, quote, assemble large parcels of land to create a coordinated and well-conceived development which otherwise may not be created on small parcels of land, close quote. Here, the developer is proposing to assemble 22 smaller parcels of land together with portions of two additional parcels of land to create a coordinated and well-conceived development which could not otherwise be created on the existing smaller parcels of land, which is what the zoning ordinance anticipates for a master plan. The master plan process also allows the developer some flexibility from requirements of the zoning ordinance that would otherwise be applicable. The zoning ordinance also requires that a developer proposing a master plan must submit a sketch plan, and that sketch plan must be submitted for review prior to formal submission of a master plan application. The sketch plan is presented to both the Planning Commission and the Township Board of Supervisors for informal discussions relating to the project before the formal submission is filed. Here, the applicant filed a sketch plan for the proposed master plan development last year, had opportunities to meet with both the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors at public meetings to discuss the project, to answer questions, to receive feedback about the project, and the developer also met with the Township's Planning Committee on two different occasions to discuss the project as well. The developer took the feedback received from those meetings, made changes to the project in response to the comments received from the Township during that sketch plan review process and the Planning Committee meetings. Specifically, it was clear the Township had expressed concerns regarding the height and location of the proposed mixed-use building relative to the intersection. So that mixed-use building was shifted to the south, away from the intersection, and is now three stories instead of four stories. In addition, the proposed sheets was shifted closer to Governor Road, where the mixed-use building had previously been located. The master plan process is a lengthy one. We've been working through this process for over a year now. The zoning ordinance has numerous ordinance requirements applicable to a master plan. Those ordinance requirements essentially require an applicant to develop a complete land development design of a project before the developer has even received their zoning approvals. So it is a lengthy, involved process. To illustrate that point, we submitted a 48-page narrative in support of the application that discusses the project and also restates the applicable ordinance requirements and addresses how each requirement is met. The first 40 pages of that narrative essentially restate and address the master plan ordinance requirements. Almost 80% of that narrative is dealing with master plan ordinance requirements. In terms of the master plan itself and the overall process, I mentioned that the ordinance allows a developer some flexibility from certain requirements in the zoning ordinance if they propose a master plan. It's important to note that for this project, there are only two areas of flexibility that the developer is realizing by going through the master plan process. First, the ordinance provides for a 10% increase in impervious coverage if you go through the master plan process. The developer is proposing an increase of approximately 6%, but that is an advantage, and there is approximately 6% of additional impervious coverage permitted by the master plan process. And secondly, multifamily apartment dwellings are only permitted as part of a master plan development area. But everything else that's proposed is what's permitted under the zoning ordinance. A fuel facility is permitted by conditional use. A group child care facility is permitted by conditional use. The healthcare practitioner's office, an office, the retail, restaurants without drive-through, all of those uses are permitted by right. So we are going through a very lengthy process for approval of the master plan. But I thought it was important just to keep in mind that the master plan really is only giving us a little additional impervious coverage and the apartments that are proposed as part of the application. So after going through that informal review process, the applicant took the next step, which was to file a conditional use application requesting approval of the master plan, as well as the individual uses that are proposed to be included in the development that require conditional use approval. Those uses are fuel service major, and that's to permit the proposed sheets, multifamily apartment dwellings, that's to to permit the proposed residential dwellings that would be located on the second and third floors in the mixed-use building. And last, the group child care facility, and that's to permit the proposed kiddie academy. So conditional use request for the master plan itself, and then conditional use request for those three individual uses that would be located within the master plan. It's important to note at the outset that the use that is permitted by conditional use in the zoning ordinance is the use that the township, or specifically the Board of Supervisors as the governing body of the township, that they previously determined when the zoning ordinance was being adopted is an appropriate use in that particular zoning district, provided an applicant demonstrates that they comply with the specific objective criteria for that use that are set forth in the zoning ordinance. Here, the specific standards for a fuel service major use in the Hershey Mixed Use District are set forth in section 225-501.19 of the zoning ordinance. Those specific ordinance standards are restated and addressed on pages 42 through 44 of the narrative. It's also important to note that those standards are the same standards that were in the zoning ordinance for that use when the prior sheets was approved in 2018. The specific standards for multifamily apartment dwellings in the Hershey Mixed Use District are set forth in section 225-501.2 of the zoning ordinance. For those following along, those ordinance standards are restated and addressed on pages 41 and 42 of the narrative. And then last, the specific standards for a group child care facility in the Hershey Mixed Use District are set forth in section 225-501.52 of the zoning ordinance. And those specific ordinance standards are restated and addressed on pages 41 and 46 of the narrative. After the application was filed, the application was reviewed by the Township Planning Commission at their meeting in July of this year. The Township Planning Commission reviewed the application and at the conclusion of that review recommended approval of the conditional use application subject to satisfying the conditions set forth in the letter from the Township dated July 25, 2022. Following the Planning Commission meeting, the applicant submitted a revised master plan and supporting documents on September 9, 2022 to address the conditions set forth in the Township letter. And then most recently, the applicant submitted a revised master plan and narrative on October 14, 2022 to withdraw the request for approval of a dialysis care center and also to note the acquisition of the DePolice property that occurred subsequent to the Planning Commission meeting. One thing I want to touch on before we move into testimony is during the master plan review process to date, we have received comments about the anticipated traffic impacts associated with the project. And we have our traffic engineer, Mr. Greg Creasing. He'll be providing testimony in support of the application. But there are a couple points I wanted to touch on from the outset. First, it's important to note that the existing traffic conditions in that area surrounding the project are not good currently and are in need of improvement and have been identified for years as being in need of improvement. The Harrisburg Area Transportation Study identified the Route 322 corridor, and more specifically the Fishburne Road intersection, as one of the three most congested in the three-county region. Governor Rose Estate Road, it's identified in the 2015 Derry Township Comprehensive Plan as a community arterial highway serving regional long-distance traffic. The 2015 Comprehensive Plan states that Governor Road experiences traffic congestion since it serves the Hershey Medical Center, the Milton Hershey School, the Derry Township School District, as well as other local commercial and institutional uses. Fishburne Road, the other main road that's adjacent to the project, that Fishburne Road is also a state road and is identified in the 2015 Comprehensive Plan as a community arterial roadway. The 2015 Comprehensive Plan discusses the existing unsignalized intersection of Fishburne Road and Sand Hill Road and states that previous traffic studies have identified poor levels of service at the intersection of Fishburne Road and Sand Hill Road. Traffic operations at the intersection are also impacted by cues from the traffic signal at Fishburne Road and Governor Road. The 2015 comprehensive plan goes on to discuss the possibility of reducing the need for short local trips to travel on Governor Road by improving the connectivity of the surrounding roadway network, including a proposed extension of Pope Drive to Fishburne Road that would allow traffic from the Hershey Medical Center to access Fishburne Road without having to go out and utilize Governor Road. With respect to that project, the comprehensive plan states a future extension of Pope Drive to intersect Fishburne Road may provide the opportunity to create a new signalized intersection that can accommodate left turns onto Fishburne Road from the west. So for the master plan, what is proposed is the relocation of Sand Hill Road. That relocation will shift the intersection, Fishburne Road and Sand Hill Road, to the south, farther away from Governor Road, and will also create that intersection as a new signalized intersection. Again, these are improvements that, you know, go back as early as 2015 and, you know, beyond that, but they're identified in the 2015 Township Comprehensive Plan. These necessary and important traffic improvements have been identified, and the master plan, if approved, will make those improvements a reality, which will significantly improve the existing traffic conditions in the area. It's also important to note that the proposed improvements to the existing roadway network will improve the existing traffic conditions, even when you consider the traffic associated with the proposed master plan project, since this project will not be a regional traffic generator. Rather, it will primarily capture local traffic that is already on the roadway network. The proposed relocation of Sand Hill Road also takes into account the possible future extension of Pope Drive by creating the new signalized intersection at Fishburne Road and aligning relocated Sand Hill Road with the possible future extension of Pope Drive. The future extension of Pope Drive has the potential to significantly improve the existing traffic conditions in the area even further. However, and this is part of the point I'm getting to, it's important to note, to highlight and to emphasize that this application is not in any way proposing the future extension of Hope Drive or requesting approval of the possible future extension of Hope Drive. Rather, the application is proposing necessary roadway improvements that were previously identified for the area and that would also facilitate the possible future extension of Hope Drive. The concept plan for the possible future extension of Hope Drive that was included with the application was included for the sole limited purpose of confirming that the roadway improvements that are proposed as part of the master plan would align with and would facilitate the possible future extension of Hope Drive if that project ever occurs. But I just want to be very clear on the record that our application is not requesting any approval related to the extension of Hope Drive, and that is not part of the application or part of the requested relief in the application. So just wanted to make sure that was very clear before we got started. If there are no questions for me, we could proceed with testimony.
Raise your right hand to be sworn, please. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Strong?
Thank you. Mr. Gates, if you could go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone, please.
Sure. My name is Lowell Gates. I'm with the firm of Lindlow Properties with an address of 150 Corporate Center Drive, Suite 100. Camp Hill, PA 17011.
And if you could describe your position with the applicant, Lindlow Governor Crossing LLC.
Sure. I'm president of Lindlow Realty, Inc., which is the manager of Lindlow Governor Crossing LLC.
And what is the business of Lindlow Properties and Lindlow Governor Crossing LLC?
that Lindlow Properties is in the business of owning and managing and developing real estate, and Governor Crossing is specifically for the development here at Governor and Fishburne in Hershey.
And how long have you been in this line of work?
We started in 1992, so it's been about 30 years.
And if you could, just please briefly describe your educational and professional background and experience.
I have a bachelor's degree from Dickinson College. I have a law degree from Whittier College in Los Angeles. And I have an LLM in tax law from NYU. And I've spent the better part of 25 years battling with the IRS on tax matters and doing real estate.
Let's talk about the project that is proposed. I'm showing you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A1. Is that a copy of the master plan set prepared by Pannoni that was submitted with the application?
Yes, it is.
Was the master plan revised following the filing of the application to address review comments that were received by the applicant?
Yes.
I'm showing you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A2. Is that the revised master plan with a date of September 9, 2022?
Yes, it is.
And was the master plan further revised earlier this month after you purchased the DeFelice property and the dialysis care center advised that they were going to remain at their current location?
Yes. The dialysis care center contacted us and said they were going to remain at their current Chocolate Avenue location.
I'm showing you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A24. Is this the further revised master plan that was submitted earlier this month with a date of October 13, 2022?
Yes, it is.
I'm showing you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A25. Is that a rendering of the proposed master plan that was prepared by Pannoni?
Yes, it is.
So, Mr. Gates, we have a larger version of that exhibit A25 up on the screen. Could you just describe for us the general location of the property that is the subject of the application?
Okay, so just to get your bearings, so this is Governor Road here. This is Fishburne across the top and then extending down. This is the relocated Sand Hill Road. So Sand Hill Road would have originally come down.
And is the area of this project, is it in an area that had an area of the township that has been planned and zoned for and developed with a mix of non-residential and residential uses?
Yes.
And is this area served by a full range of utilities, infrastructure, and services, including public water and public sewer?
Yes, it has public water and public sewer.
Could you give us a brief history and overview of past development proposals and approvals for the property?
Yes, back in 2002 or 2003, James Nardo had developed the area kind of on the south side of the old Sand Hill Road, this area here. He had obtained an approved land development plan for an office building. Obviously, the office building was never built, but on that plan that was approved, Sand Hill Road was proposed to be relocated in roughly this area. Not exactly as it is now, but roughly just a little bit north of how we are proposing it. That plan was ultimately not fulfilled. We actually recently terminated the plan voluntarily. And then, as you mentioned earlier in your introduction, C.S. Cray, Charles Cray, and Sheets did obtain a land development, well, obtained a conditional use application approval for a plan similar to ours, except that Sheets would have been roughly here, and the 20,000 square foot retail pharmacy would have been out towards Governor.
Is it your understanding that that prior conditional use approval from 2018 has now expired since the prior developer did not pursue land development plans?
Yes.
And could you briefly describe the applicant's interest and involvement in the property since those prior proposals or approvals?
We entered into an agreement with Cray back in the fourth quarter of 2020 to buy the property, and then proceeded with the process that we're now involved in to go through land development, master plan, submitting it, you know, in sketch form to the township for review, and with various comments back and forth.
So could we pull up the revised master plan? We have what's up on the screen is sheet MP 2.1 of the revised master plan, which we've identified here tonight as applicant's exhibit A24. But if you could, just refer to that plan sheet and describe for us the existing conditions at this location.
Sure. So, again, this is Governor Road. This is Fishburne Road up here. This is the existing Sand Hill Road. This is Peach over here. You have Carnes down here. And basically, all of the parcels that are kind of surrounded by Governor, Carnes, down to here and back up are the 22 parcels that we acquired, except for, I believe this parcel right here is DeFelice, which we just recently acquired. And then the northern half of Mr. Leppold's property is under agreement. And then over here, there's a little triangular piece that's currently owned by the Carnes, or the owner that of the Carnes facility, that there will be a slight exchange of property right in this area.
So let's touch on each of those areas that you just identified. So you mentioned that the applicant, Linlow Governor Crossing LLC, owns the 22 parcels that are included in the project. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm showing you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A3. Is that a deed wherein the prior owner conveyed 21 of those 22 parcels to the applicant?
That's correct.
And you mentioned the DeFelice property was recently acquired. I'm showing you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A4. Is that a copy of the deed conveying the DeFelice property to the applicant?
Yes, it is.
And you mentioned two agreements with other property owners. First, the Carnes property. I'm showing you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A5. Is that a copy of the real estate exchange agreement with the owner of the Carnes property?
Yes, it is.
And does that agreement provide for a swap of two small areas of land between the parties?
Yes. This triangular piece and then a long, narrow piece right here.
So the long, narrow piece identified by the red cross hatching would be conveyed to the adjacent property owner, and the adjacent property owner would convey the blue triangle to the applicant?
Yes.
Showing what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A6, you mentioned the Leppold property. Is that the agreement of sale with Mr. Leppold?
Yes, it is.
And is the property that Mr. Leppold has agreed to convey to the applicant, is that also identified by blue cross hatching on sheet MP 2.1?
Yes, it's this area, this blue area right here.
And so the result of combining all or portions of these smaller lots is an irregularly shaped and dimensioned corner property that is approximately 7.42 gross acres or 6.92 net acres with frontage along three public streets. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And are the three streets that are adjacent Governor Road to the north, Fishburne Road to the east, and Sand Hill Road, which would be located, so it would be along the southern border of the property?
Correct.
The existing zoning classification for the property, is it located in the township's Hershey Mixed Use Zoning District?
Yes, it is.
And is it also located in two overlay districts identified as the Southern Core Overlay and the Central Master Plan Development Approval Area Overlay?
Yes.
If you could just describe for us generally the existing land use and development characteristics of the area surrounding the property.
To the west would be the Carnes Shopping Center, which also has in it the Hershey Pharmacy. And then on this out parcel is a Northwest Bank branch. I believe over on this side is mostly commercial. I think there's a Members First branch in here somewhere.
When you say on this side, you mean on the north side of?
Yes, on the north side of Governor. These are all commercial with a gas station here at the corner of Governor and Fishburne. There's the Masonic Lodge, kind of diagonal from our site along the east side of Fishburne are all what would have been homes that have been converted into commercial use. Yeah, pretty much all the way down through here, a restaurant in here somewhere, and the Seedling Academy or daycare. And then on the west side of Fishburne, I believe these are residential homes, as well as the homes along Peach, the border on the south side of the property.
And to your knowledge, is all of the land abutting and immediately adjacent to the property that is proposed for development zoned as part of the Hershey Mixed Use District?
Yes, they are.
If we could advance to sheet MP3.0. And we previously identified applicant's exhibit A24, and we have sheet MP3.0 up on the screen. If you could describe generally what you propose to do on the property as depicted on sheet MP3.0 of the master plan set.
Sure. So again, just for reference, this is Governor, this is Fishburne, this is the relocated Sand Hill Road. So out at the intersection of Governor and Fishburne would be the sheet store, with the canopy and gas pumps. There would be an entrance right here coming, if you were coming east on Governor, you could make a right into the site, but not back out, just the right in. At the corner of Fishburne and relocated Sand Hill, there would be a three-story mixed-use building. The first floor of this building would be retail, and the upper two floors would be apartments. This building that borders relocated Sand Hill would be a medical office building, formerly the dialysis, but now just the medical. And this building is a daycare center right here that kind of backs up against Carnes.
And would both the medical office slash office building and the daycare center building, are those proposed to be one-story buildings?
Yes, yeah, the daycare. Well, yeah, the daycare and the medical are both one story.
And you mentioned the access from Governor Road would be a right-in only. What access is proposed on both Fishburne Road and relocated Sand Hill Road?
Okay, so this is Fishburne. We're proposing a right-in, so if you're traveling south on Fishburne, you can turn right in, or you could turn right out and proceed south on Fishburne. This would be the signalized intersection here, and then we have a full movement intersection from the southern end of our site out onto the relocated Sand Hill. So this would allow cars to turn in or out, left or right.
And is the project proposing shared parking facilities and spaces, shared stormwater management facilities, pedestrian and bicycle facilities, landscaping, open space, and signage?
Correct.
And we talked about relocated Sand Hill Road will connect with Fishburne Road at a new signalized intersection several hundred feet south of the current signalized intersection. Proposed road improvements to Sand Hill Road, were those designed so that they could connect with a possible future extension of Hope Drive if that project is ever moves forward without requiring any, you know, tearing out of the improvements that this project is proposing to do to Sand Hill Road, etc.?
Yes, it's this area of Sand Hill Road right here was intentionally put at this location so that if Hope Drive were to be extended from Cherry, which is down here, straight in, it would connect seamlessly with the relocated Sand Hill.
But just to be clear, this application does not include any request for approval for any possible future extension of Hope Drive, correct?
No, none.
But the development and the road improvements were designed to take into account that future extension as a possibility so that everything would align correctly. Is that correct?
Right. If that eventuality happens, it's ready to go, but this plan does not approve that extension.
And the project is proposed to connect to both public sewer and public water systems?
Yes, public water and public sewer.
And in your opinion, does the proposed master plan development propose the uniform use of materials, colors, scales, proportions, and elements that are consistent with buildings located within the township and including in the downtown core?
Yes. All of the buildings, the sheets, the three-story mixed use, the medical, and the daycare will all have similar, not identical, but similar brick and architectural style.
And we'll get into that in much more depth and detail with Mr. Tilley, the architect, is that correct?
Yes.
And are you generally familiar with the Derry Township zoning ordinance?
Yes.
And are you familiar with the narrative that was submitted as part of the master plan development application that sets forth the applicable zoning ordinance requirements together with responses to those requirements?
Yes.
And was the narrative revised earlier this month to address the changes that were made to the master plan?
Yes.
Those changes being the acquisition of the Deep Police property and the withdrawal of the request for approval of a dialysis care center?
That's correct.
I'm showing you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A26. Is that the revised narrative that was submitted earlier this month?
Yes.
Sections 225-302.3 and 225-501.58.A.1.D of the zoning ordinance permit master plan developments by conditional use in the central master plan area, correct?
Yes.
And is the application requesting conditional use approval of this master plan development on the property, which is located in the township's central master plan area?
Yes.
Prior to submitting the master plan application, did the applicant meet with township officials, both the Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors, to informally discuss the proposed development of the property as required by the master plan ordinance?
Yes, most of our team did, yes.
And could you just provide a brief overview of those meetings and the overall process that you've gone through prior to even filing the master plan application itself?
Sure. We submitted the plan to the Community Development Department, sat down and reviewed with them, and then met with the Township Planning Commission on about August 3rd, 2021. And then we went to the Board of Supervisors at one of their meetings on August 24th to discuss the master plan.
And at that time, was the master plan, did it look slightly different than it looks today?
It did. Originally, this mixed-use building was four stories, and we had located it roughly in this area by Governor and Fishburne, and the sheet was over here. Roughly those kind of got flip-flopped.
And so was that change to the master plan done in response to the feedback that was received at the meetings with the township when the sketch plan was reviewed?
We did. A number of the board members thought that having the four-story building here by Governor would appear too high, and perhaps a too large of a building would somewhat dominate the intersection. So we thought bringing the sheets, which was obviously just a one-story building, bringing it up here. And if everyone can kind of picture, this area of the property is the highest. And as you go down Fishburne, it actually slopes down. So this area, surprisingly, is about 7 feet below this area up here. So we thought if we put the four-story building here, it would appear lower because it's lower on terrain. And then we also lowered this building to three stories, again, just to reduce the overall size of the building.
And after those revisions were made to the proposed master plan concept, the master plan application was submitted to the township?
Yes.
And did that application include the required number of copies of the application form?
Yes.
And the master plan itself?
Yes.
Did it also include a traffic impact study that was prepared by Grove Willer Engineering, Inc.?
Yes, it did.
And did it also include all other required supporting documentation and materials?
Yes.
And the filing fee was paid, I assume?
Yes.
And did the applicant provide the township with the required escrow fee and escrow agreement for the cost of the township's professional consultants to review the application?
Yes.
I want to show you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A7. Is this the signage exhibit that was submitted with the application with the intent of depicting freestanding sign information as required by Section 225-501.58.A.4.G.VI of the zoning ordinance?
Yes.
And was that signage exhibit subsequently updated following the filing of the application to review to address review comments?
Yes, it was.
And I handed you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A8. Is that the updated signage exhibit that was submitted in support of the application?
Yeah, this looks like the updated one.
And if you could, just generally describe the freestanding signage that is proposed as depicted on the revised signage exhibit, Exhibit A8.
Sure. The main sign for the site would be located right about here, so that traffic either east or westbound on Governor would be able to see it. And this sign would be the largest in that it would have at the top Governor Crossing to identify, you know, the overall project. It would contain signage for sheets, for the medical, for the daycare, and then multiple retail in this building. And then there would also be signage.
Thank you.
sign is right in here. That would primarily advertise for sheets to let people know that they could come, you know, make this right in off of Fishburne. There would be another sign here that would have multiple tenant names on it, advertising, you know, most of the tenants that are in here. And then there would be another sign down here, again, with multiple names on it. And then we're proposing a sign here just for the daycare center.
And will any signs that are proposed in applications for permits submitted for the proposed master plan, will those signs comply with all applicable sign ordinance requirements in the zoning ordinance?
Yes.
Did the applicant submit a draft declaration of condominium with the application?
Yes.
I'm showing you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A9. Was that draft declaration submitted to identify the typical easements, covenants, and restriction information as required by sections 225-501.58.A.4.G, Romanet 9, and Romanet 13 of the zoning ordinance?
Yes.
Do the draft condominium, or does the draft condominium declaration include general provisions regarding ownership, operation, and maintenance responsibility of the common elements of the proposed master plan, including open space, buffer yards, and landscaping?
Yes.
And would that declaration be finalized before recording if the master plan is approved?
Yes, it would be.
And besides the open space, buffer yards, and landscaping, are there other site improvements designed as part of this project that would be intended to be included in the common elements of the master plan development?
Yes. For example, there's a walking trail, that dark line that goes around the site. That's a walking trail that would allow for a bicycle, pedestrian. And then there's also stormwater located on the site. Predominantly, there's underground, or there would be proposed underground stormwater in the center of the site. And I think there's going to be bicycle racks near the mixed-use building, the type that can be where you, like, you know, borrow the bikes so that folks could conceivably go from here over to the Med Center and back. So, you know, all those things would be governed by the condominium declaration.
And are electric vehicle charging stations proposed?
Yes. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, there would be multiple of those.
In your opinion, does the narrative, master plan, and the cost-benefit analysis that was submitted with the application include the applicable information required by Section 225-501.58.A.4.G, Romanet 11 of the zoning ordinance?
Yes.
I'm showing you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A10. Is this a copy of the cost-benefit analysis that was submitted with the application?
Yes, it is.
And does the zoning ordinance require that that cost-benefit analysis be submitted as part of a master plan development application?
Yes, it does.
And does that cost-benefit analysis follow the instructions of the zoning ordinance for preparing the analysis?
Yes, it does.
And if you could, just describe generally the analysis and the findings that are set forth on that exhibit, please.
Sure. So basically, we look at what revenue would be generated by the improvements on the site, including not only real estate taxes, earned income, tax revenue from employees who would be working at the site, occupational tax, real estate, transfer taxes, permit fees, pretty much the whole gamut. And the conclusion based on these calculations would be that the township would have net positive revenue of $207,000 and change, and the school district would have a net positive of $339,000 and change.
Does the narrative that was submitted with the application include the tentative development schedule information required by, and I apologize for the report, section 225-501.58.A.4.G, Romanet 15 of the zoning ordinance?
Yes.
And if you could, just describe for us briefly the tentative development schedule for this project.
Basically, once the master plan and conditional use application would be approved, we would immediately work towards preparing and submitting the land development plan. And we would not be doing the project in phases. We would do the whole thing at once. And we would anticipate, depending on approvals, having the site work done by roughly the end of 2023 with construction, with supply chain, that's becoming more of a question, but roughly the end of 2023, we would have the daycare center done, the medical building done, and certainly deliver the pad site to Sheets. And then, and those three might push into the early part of 2024, but then the mixed-use building, which would be the largest of the buildings, probably would extend into the end of the first quarter of 2024, or perhaps a month or two beyond that.
Following the informal sketch plan review process, was a concept plan for the extension of Hope Drives prepared by Pannoni and submitted with the application?
Yes.
I'm showing you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A11. Is that the concept plan for Hope Drive extension?
Yes.
And again, was that concept plan submitted for the limited purpose of depicting how the proposed improvements that are a part of the master plan, in other words, the relocation of Sand Hill Road, that those proposed improvements will align with any potential future extension of Hope Drive if that project were to ever occur?
Correct.
And I'm showing you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A12. Is this a truck turning exhibit that was also submitted with the application?
Yes, it is.
Turning to the overall process for approval of a master plan, and I touched on this in my introductory comments, the zoning ordinance in section 225-501.58.A states that the purpose of the master plan development approval process is to encourage owners to unitize or assemble large parcels of land to create a coordinated and well-conceived development, which otherwise may not be created on small parcels of land. You previously testified that you are proposing to assemble 22 parcels of land together with portions of two other parcels to create this proposed master plan development, correct?
That's correct.
In your opinion, is the proposed master plan development a coordinated and well-conceived mixed-use design development on a larger assemblage of properties that would not otherwise be possible without combining those 22 smaller lots and portions of the two additional properties?
Correct.
In your opinion, is the master plan development laid out and intended to improve and enhance the existing infrastructure and connectivity in the area of the property?
Yes, it is.
In your opinion, will the road improvements associated with the master plan development improve the existing traffic conditions in the surrounding area?
I'm going to object to that line of questioning. This gentleman has not been qualified as an expert, and it's a rather self-serving question, and I think we can anticipate his answer.
It's correct. I have not offered Mr. Gates as an expert. However, as a layperson, he can provide his opinion, particularly based on his 30 years as a developer in this area.
Yes, and later on there's a room full of people here who will also offer their opinions.
And are you suggesting that I should object to all of their opinions?
You certainly can. Yes, you can.
Folks, the board has the power to listen to the evidence, weigh its relevancy, weigh its impact. I think we understand that this man is not a traffic engineer, has not been put forth as an expert, and we will attach or limit the weight of his evidence based on that fact. So you may answer the question. Thank you.
Can you restate the question, please, so that we can
Sure. So the question was, in your opinion, will the road improvements associated with the master plan development improve the existing traffic conditions in the surrounding area?
Yes. Currently, Sand Hill Road, where it is here, comes out through the site and exits out roughly where the right-in, right-out will be located. This road is both narrow and lacks a signal right here. So oftentimes traffic traveling north on Fishburne will back up and basically block cars from exiting out onto Fishburne, unless, of course, they're turning right. But if you're turning left, you end up stacking. We're moving Sand Hill Road approximately 300 feet further away from Governor, so now it'll be a little over 600 feet away. This will become signalized to control the flow of traffic both north and south and turning left and right. So, yes, I think it'll be a huge improvement.
The master plan development that's proposed, it includes a mix of residential and non-residential land uses, including apartments, retail and service businesses, and open spaces?
Yes.
It includes compact building design, including multiple buildings and one three-story mixed-use building?
Yes.
Does it provide additional housing opportunities for the area?
Yes, the mixed-use building will have the second and third floor apartments, roughly 20 apartments per floor, for a total of 40 apartments.
And in terms of pedestrian connectivity, you mentioned that new bicycle and pedestrian paths are proposed. Is that correct?
Yes. This walking trail that goes around the site eventually could be tied into the Eschenella Trail, which goes around the Med Center Cherry. And this walking trail could be extended down Cove Drive out to Cherry. There will also be bicycle racks here to be used to ride downtown or to the Med Center through the bike share program.
As part of the master plan approval process, section 225-501.58.A of the zoning ordinance requires applicants to meet with the Derry Township Municipal Authority to review required sanitary sewer lines and other sanitary sewer facilities. Did the applicant meet with the Derry Township Municipal Authority as part of the project process in this case?
We did meet with them, yes.
And did you meet with them in December of last year?
Yes, December of 2021.
And I'm showing you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit 13. Are you familiar with this letter from the authority dated June 28, 2022?
Yes.
And does that letter confirm that the authority had no technical comments regarding the master plan?
Correct. When we met with them, we gave them this basic plan, and we discussed how the sewer lines would flow and exit out. Basically, everything flows kind of downhill and west.
And does the applicant intend to incorporate the input eventually received from the authority in the final utility design as part of the subsequent subdivision and land development plan review and approval process?
Yes.
The the 22 lots, you previously testified that you were the owner, the legal owner of those 22 lots, correct?
Correct.
And you've entered into agreements with the owners of two adjoining lots for those small portions that would be included?
Correct.
So therefore, as both the owner and equitable owner of all of the land that is included in the proposed master plan, you control the property that's included in the master plan, correct?
Correct.
The uses that are proposed in the master plan, the zoning ordinance says that uses that are permitted by right in the underlying zoning district, here the Hershey Mixed Use District, are permitted in a master plan area as well. are small-scale retail businesses and food service businesses that have drive-through, such as the ones that would be proposed in your mixed-use building. Are they permitted on the ground floor of a mixed-use building by right in the Hershey Mixed-Use District?
Yes.
And the restaurant and retail would not have a floor area for either that would be greater than 20,000 square feet. Is that correct?
Correct.
The zoning ordinance also provides that conditional uses that are permitted in the underlying zoning district are permitted in a master plan. The zoning ordinance permits major fuel service establishments by conditional use in the Hershey Mixed Use District, correct?
Correct.
And is the application requesting conditional use approval to permit the proposed Sheetz as a major fuel service establishment as part of the proposed master plan?
Yes, it does.
The application previously requested conditional use approval to permit a dialysis care center as a use similar to a healthcare practitioner's office as part of the master plan development. Is that correct?
That was the case, yeah.
And after working with them for some time, did they subsequently notify you that they now intend to remain at their current location in the township and will no longer be a part of the master plan development?
That's correct.
And was the application, including both the narrative and the master plan, amended to no longer request approval of a dialysis care center?
That's correct.
The ordinance, in terms of the conditional uses, are group child care facilities permitted by conditional use in the Hershey Mixed Use District?
Yes, they are.
And does the application request conditional use approval to permit a group child care facility as part of the proposed master plan?
Yes.
And the ordinance also permits apartment uses in the Hershey Mixed Use District when located above the first or ground floor of a building. Does the application request conditional use approval to permit apartment dwellings on the upper floors of the mixed use building as part of the proposed master plan?
Yes.
Mr. Strong, are you going to be wrapping this witness up soon? Otherwise, I think we'll need to take a break.
No, why don't we go ahead and take a break? And
okay. I forgot to announce this, but we will be taking breaks about every hour and a half during this time. So we're going to take about 5-minute break, and then we'll get started up again.